woke up in the parking lot, far from a meal and a cot. On the corner where all the streets got the same name. Maybe my brain's on the brink of
insane.
Yeah, aim between the papers while sleeping on the train. Just the land of milk and honey.
No shame.
Then invisible man times three. Black down and out, outstanding on the corner.
No doubt.
Now a nation of homeless sleeping in bus stations. Another win for the pilgrims who said
no more hate.
As I proceed, someone to feed me is what I need.
Three blocks of dealers trying to hit me up with some weed.
Yeah, avenues and boulevards hungry as
hope to get a ride from a. This is Voices of the Frontline, Damon Azali Rojas with Tam Bang Lu. On the phone we have Lawrence Reyes, and we're probably going to be having Michael Novick on the phone in a minute. He's on the bus, and you know how traffic is here. We can talk about what Eric Mann was talking about in his commentary. So Lawrence is on the phone with us, and he's going to talk to us about the Panther 8. Lawrence, how are you doing?
How you doing? And thank you for making this space available to our Unity mission to free what we're calling now the San Francisco 8, because they happen to be in the Bay Area in prison on trumped up charges that were dismissed without prejudice back in the 1970s.
Yeah, so Lawrence, the case for the San Francisco 8, the Panther 8, these folks were arrested January 23rd of this year from all across the nation, from New York, Florida, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and basically this is a connection to a 35-year-old case.
Right, yeah, a 35-year-old case that was dismissed without prejudice as a result. That some of the confessions that the federal government extrapolated from the brothers was done by torture, were extrapolated by using methods of torture. So what has happened is that as soon as the brothers started to speak out and show their documentary called A Legacy of Torture, the FBI and the reissuing of COINTELPRO methods started again.
Well, that's just so... The Legacy of Torture is a documentary that's put out by Freedom Archives.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that's where I got a lot of information. And then they said, come to the Southern California Library because there's they're showing Legacy of Torture. And that's actually what you're showing tomorrow, too.
Right, exactly.
So the Legacy of Torture is this, it's about the history of the torture of these same eight folks who were very much Abu Ghraib, Guantanamo Bay style cattle prods, bags over the head until they were suffocating and passed out. And this is where the testimony that convicted them was from.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at this, why did all of a sudden after 35 years, I mean, besides the brothers speaking out, why did the government decide at this particular point to go after these guys?
Well, you know, you have the kind of atmosphere and environment right now and the political forces that are sort of instituting these kind of neo-fascist methods to extrapolate and pluck people out of the communities. You see it with eight Black Panthers and actually nine. John Bowman, who had passed away, was indicted as one of them, and he was already deceased. So this is a direct correlation with when John Ashcroft was sworn in as the Attorney General back in the 2000s, he stated that he would use every ounce of method necessary to address the issues of the Black Panthers. So, again, when you have people who are assets to their communities, like these eight elders are, they take them out of the community, it really speaks to the sign of the times where anybody that dissents against this fascist government right now is subjected to these kind of COINTELPRO tactics, ISIS, and the other acts that are that this administration has imposed its will and subjugated the people to.
And so it sounds like we got Michael Novick on the phone. Michael, are you there?
I hope he is. He's my sidekick.
Hey.
You know, I think it's very important for people to come out, listen to the family members of these...
So, yeah, why don't you speak a little bit about the event tomorrow? Where is it? Who's going to be there?
Okay, it's going to be at USC at Phillips Wade Hall, B27, on the University of Southern California campus. And we have a couple of former Black Panthers that will be in panel, as well as a professor, which Do you happen to have the flyer in front of you by chance?
Yeah, actually, if anybody wants it, you can go to LA Indie Media Center under events, and they'll have, you know, basic all over. So there's a couple relatives of Ray Boudreau, who is one of the San Francisco Eight that, you know, lived in the Los Angeles area. The last event that we had was at the Southern California Library, and Yusef Omowale, who's the executive director there, he was just saying, talking about the character of this guy. This guy came in on his time off. He's an electrician, and basically rewired all the lighting in the Southern California Library. So these are definitely people who are actually doing work in the community. So just for folks to know, LA Indie Media Center is where you can get the info. But in particular, it's 6:30 tomorrow. The actual building is WPHB27. You can get to it on Trousdale Parkway, which is the entrance off of Jefferson from USC. So Bayo Ali, who is a very, very powerful speaker and will get you to do pretty much anything, because he gets all up in there. Yeah, and then a couple of the family members of the folks who are actually held.
If I could just say something real quick. You know, I met Ray Boudreau and Hank Williams. They were almost inseparable. And I met them when they were resisting the grand jury. And, you know, one of the things that Ray and both Hank did was they came and helped us, you know, put out the art exhibit of Not Enough Space, which was an art exhibit that was done by imprisoned Puerto Rican political prisoners. And they came and they lent their talent to us. And, you know, these are assets, you know, to the community. And the fact that they're not among us right now, it's a deep sense of loss for me, and I know for the Unity Mission as well, that these eight brothers are in prison right now on these trumped-up charges, you know.
So, Lawrence, I know you've done a lot of work around political prisoners of all different race, nationalities, whatnot, a lot of stuff in the Puerto Rican community, getting the U.S. out of Vieques and whatnot. I know in the 60s and 70s, the Black Panthers as an organization, as a kind of hope, if you will, inspired tons of different other oppressed nationalities to do stuff, from the Brown Berets to the American Indian Movement to the Young Loaders Party. So can you – I know at that point, you know, people were – on the street were talking about revolution. They were talking about racism and all this other stuff, where now you don't hear it at all. So I was just wondering, in terms of your take on it, what will be the ripples of these brothers from the Black Panther Party, former Black Panther Party members, on other oppressed nationality movements that are still doing work?
You know, I mean, it's the impact is completely negative, and it's very severe for us. You know, the Young Lords Party came up as a result of Chacha Jimenez was incarcerated in Cook County Jail. And he ran into Fred Hampton. And Fred Hampton told him about this organization that was revolutionary and that was helping feed the community, provide medical services, provide the services that the institutions inside the communities would not, for some reason, came Friday, they were gone. So Saturday and Sundays, what happened was that, you know, there was the movement to sustain a community. And what happened there was that this was what the Black Panthers taught the Young Lords, which I was a member of when I was a kid. And so, you know, I mean, it's very significant, the contributions that they made to the movement and to the people in resistance. Some people call them oppressed. I happen to say that they're people in resistance. So, I mean, the net effect is not positive at all. It's very negative. And it also impacts the current 100-plus political prisoners who are in prison in the United States, because when they make arrests like this, what happens is that they tighten up security even more, and a lot of the brothers and sisters that are in prison as a result of their political beliefs are subjected to these really strict security measures where some of them can't even go out to take a shower, or they may have 30 minutes out in the yard, and so forth and so on. So, it has a real big ripple effect. And especially in those communities that those brothers came from, who they were an asset to. I mean, there were people who were community workers, social workers, you know, very involved in developing and sustaining their communities.
So I know we just got a little bit of time left, but I just want to, I think it's really important because a lot of times we talk about the Panther 8 or, you know, the New York 21 or whatnot, and we don't say the brother's name. So I think it's just, I want to just kind of read out the names so people
sure.
just know that these are people and they have families and just to give respect to the families. So one is Ray Boudreaux, who's from Los Angeles, a local folk, so people should to check him out. And all this stuff is available on Jericho's website. So Ray Boudreaux, Herman Bell, who's been in jail for 30 years for doing stuff around the liberation of black people, Francisco Torres, Harold Taylor, Richard O'Neill, Jaleel Muta King, Henry Hank Jones, and Richard Brown, and actually John Bowman was one of the people were named who just passed recently. So we just want to give mad respect and just from the bottom of my heart, just really, really appreciate the people who came before us that are continuing the struggle, that we can stand on their shoulders and continue it. So,
and you know, we're asking the people in the movement, and I know you had a great piece about the social forum, which I'm going to be at, but the people in the movement, if they could write letters of support to the wardens, to the governors and the president, and whatever they can do to help us in our effort to have these comrades, these heroes, you know, these assets to the community released, it would be very, very much appreciated. I know by me, but I also know by the families, which, you know, you don't only take a husband out of the community, you take a father out of the community, mm-hmm. but you take a wage earner out of the community.
All right, thank you. Lawrence, we're going to have to leave it there. If you want more action alerts, you can go www.cdhrsupport.org, and they will send you all the information, jericho.org, for more information. And Tam's going to take us out.
Thanks. Well, thanks for joining us this week. We'd like to thank our guest, and we have music from Cut Chemist, Zach De La Rocha, Public Enemy, and Afro Reggae. And you can listen to previous voices on our website, www.thestrategycenter.org. I'd like to thank today's director, Christine Bogsdale, our engineer, D'Angelo Jones, and Tomika Zogi. And we'll see you next week on Voices from the Front Lines. Up next is Beneath the Surface with Susie Weissmuth.